Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, good morning and welcome. We wanted to play a show, a previous show, on our city attorney. And since it was a half-hour show, we want to go to it right now.
Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn with the greatest of care. Hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn the Backstory.
Well, once again, welcome to the Backstory. This is former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, sitting alongside with Dave Truax.
Howdy.
Hi, Dave. Hey, we have some great stories.
I think so.
I don't know. We certainly have some backstories that will make you, more useful as a citizen. It's important that you get the information you need to make informed decisions and informed choices. And since the Modesto Bee isn't doing that, we think the Backstory has a place in our community. On October, well, let's go and talk first. Backstory.
And we do have a caller. Has pressed the one button.
Oh, sure. Well, let's greet him. Caller, welcome.
Hello, Carmen.
Hello,
Carmen. Do you hear me?
Yeah, Mike. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I can hear you. Have we got you?
Yeah.
Hello, Mike.
I'm just to give you a little update on what we're trying to do out what disenfranchisement of in our area.
Are you on the cell phone or Mike? Mike?
Cell phone.
Yeah, can you get to a landline? Or call us back? Because you're breaking up.
Call you back.
Okay?
Then. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. We're going to be talking to Mike Garcia. Mike, I know what he wants to talk about. He does want to talk about the election and the election process. The problems we've had at the polls. So we're anxious to hear from him shortly. So let's get back to a little bit about Adam Lindgren, Monica Houston, the controversy over legal fees here in the city of Modesto. On October 24th, there was an article about fraud, waste, and abuse. Modesto auditors' review of road project sparks controversy. You know, Monica Houston was hired by the Modesto City Council, and I'm wondering now if they're thinking, what in the world did we do? Because the word now is that they want to get rid of her. She's in hot water with top city officials, I think, because she's doing too much. One of the things she did, and this is nervy, the Myers Nave law firm is our city attorney. Mm-hmm. And Adam Lindgren is the attorney assigned to us, although he is a principal in Myers Nave.
He is a principal, and he's also the city attorney for the cities of Modesto and Rancho Cordova. He's special counsel to Sacramento, Livingston, Monterey, and other districts with road and development work.
Yeah, except he's got a problem in Modesto.
Maybe.
Because the city auditor has determined that his doing work on 132, the alignment, presents a problem, a conflict problem. She says that it could expose the city to risk of fraud, waste, and abuse if he continues to be the attorney representing the city on 132. Now, the state of California at one point was agreeing with Houston, was saying pretty much she's right. But my feeling now is that the city is trying to back off. Well, the state is trying to back off.
Back off the position of allowing him to do both?
Yeah. Yeah, he could personally benefit.
Definitely personally benefit. His firm does, and he's
a
principal in charge. He's a shareholder in a firm that's contracting.
Well, the bid, the contract, if it's not a non-competitive bid, which is to a firm, he holds an interest and could benefit personally, could be a conflict of interest. Well, that started the battle, and apparently the city auditor had been evaluated 5 times in 6 months. And, you know, I see that Mike made it back, so let's go back. Well, let me finish with this so you'll come back. The city of Modesto has paid $20 million in legal fees from 2014 to April of this year. City Attorney Adam Lindgren has been, his law firm has been paid $9 million. The $11 million is paid to other law firms around the state.
Going back to the trough every time.
Yeah. Well, I asked for a public record 10 days ago, but I already know what the figures are, $20 million for legal work from 2014 to April of this year. And the city is not willing to give up readily public records. And as soon as I said that and thought that, I did get a phone call today from the city that they are going to email me the partial records of this $20 million expenditure.
We'll see the redaction that's in this version.
Yeah, we'll see how much is redacted. And they didn't ask for a 10-day extension. It's curious. They said, you know, we'll send you half of it now and half of it next week. So this way, she said it's a rolling rollout or whatever. Okay, we can wait. So anyhow.
Off to Mike.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Are you on now?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Now
you hear me better?
Clear. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Same phone number, so, but you must be in a place where we're getting much
better. Yeah, I got away from my computer. I think it was... It was jamming
okay.
It up or whatever.
Mike, I know you know what's going on with the election. And there seems, first of all, I think people are shocked, Mike, that there are 80,000 ballots still left to count.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Even though that's
pretty.
Well,
that's
good
pretty amazing.
News for Josh Harder because of those 80,000. There's plenty of room where he can make up the 1,200 that he's behind.
Exactly.
So,
but this goes beyond the Harder campaign. If you remember a few years back during the Riverbank campaign when Virginia Madueño ran, that election wasn't really finalized until about 2 days before the final days of certification, you know, which is December 6th. And, you know, if you recall, in that election, she won only by, like, I don't know how many votes. She barely won that race. But it took them that long to count the ballots in the Riverbank area, you know.
the metropolis of Riverbank.
Yeah.
A lot of votes.
So I'm just kind of worried about what's really going on over there. And it really goes beyond the Harder campaign or whatever, but it's really more about, voter disenfranchisement. When you have to go through hoops to vote, that should not happen. I mean, because a lot of these people were first-time voters. And if all of a sudden they see that there's a difficulty for even their vote, that really hurts the democratic system.
Well, it's a violation of our civil rights, and it should be taken seriously. And I think I mentioned last night in the last show that I went to vote at a polling place, and Steve O'Connor was there. Steve is the former candidate for the district attorney, and he had trouble voting. His name was in one book, but they couldn't find his name in the other, and they were writing him a note to go down to the records, county records election office, and get a provisional ballot. He became a little irate about that, but my understanding now is that that isn't an isolated case. That there are many people who were turned away to go get a provisional ballot. And
I'll guarantee you, if Leland, you're going to say that there was 1,000 people that went down there, how many people did not go? Because, you know, a lot of the people had other things. Transportation within our community, I knew within the Mexican community, sometimes is limited. They use the bus and different things to get different places. So, again, you know, to try and say they're there at 7 o'clock at the voting area, and then they're told to go downtown, you know. And they use the bus. What are they supposed to do then? You know?
Well, let me ask you, what's Lee Lundergan saying now?
Well,
nobody really
can get a hold of her or talk to her except the Modesto Bee, I think. Because what I'm hearing from people that have been trying to contact her, they haven't been able to contact her.
Yeah, but she's disputing what the poll workers are saying about what was going on.
She is
weren't poll workers; they were poll watchers. What happened was that because of what they were concerned about, I think there were poll watchers that were at about 30 different areas. And they were, maybe they should have been in different areas because it sounds to me like the problem was everywhere, but they were looking at it in Latino and Spanish speaking areas because they were concerned about, problems that might come up in terms of language or different kinds of things of that nature. But then all of a sudden they started noticing that, you know, that people were running out of ballots toward the end, all kinds of different things. The other thing was that I was concerned with was also the mail-in ballots with the signatures, because I think this is the important part, is because a lot of, a friend of mine's daughter, she's like 35. She voted like in three elections or four elections. And she was sent a letter telling her that her signature didn't match, and she had to go down to the county to verify her signature, so that she would be allowed to vote. You know, and but what concerns me is that a lot of these people's signatures now are printed. They don't even, a lot of them don't do cursive. They don't teach it in school anymore.
No, they do not.
So if everybody's printing, how are you going to be able to tell?
Both my sons just developed a scribble that they decided it would be their signature, and that's what they've been using since they're 16.
Oh, is that it?
And they're 20. They just come up with kind of a scribble that has the first letter in it of their name, and they scribble, and that's their signature.
I don't know, but that's really concerning in terms of, you know, mail-in ballots. And what did they say, that we had 67,000 outstanding mail-in ballots?
Yeah. They had, I think that what's confusing some people is, like in a harder denim race, people are saying, how can there be that many outstanding when they say there's 100% reported? So I think
yeah,
what they're saying
exactly.
is that they have 100% of the ballots that were out there brought in. They have those. It doesn't say counted. So I think that's...
No, it does. It does say counted on their website. It says 342 out of 342 counted. I looked that
okay.
up. On the summary that they have, they say just precincts in. But when you go to the summary, and they have all the things under the 10, it says 342. Out of 342 counted. It does say counted there.
8,000 ballots is a lot. That's a lot of work. I remember
yep.
the Bush Gore thing in Florida, people with those gigantic eyeglasses looking to see if a chat
yeah.
was falling in or not. That was hilarious.
Yeah. And my concern also is, again, on these mail-in ballots, if they're going to be throwing out ballots because of their signatures, you know, this is going to be really a zoo.
Well, you know, no matter how bad it is in Stanislaus County, you know what some people say, well, it's not as bad as Georgia. It's amazing when there's something terribly wrong here. You know, it's that old story.
The problem is we're not under a microscope like Georgia.
Well, but I mean, it's like you rationalize what you're doing now because it's worse somewhere else, so what you're doing is good. It's like being stopped
yeah.
on McHenry and you're doing 50 miles an hour, and he's got you stopped, and here comes a car going 70 miles an hour, and you're telling the cop, why didn't you give him a ticket? You know, and the cop says, I don't have him. I have you. You're here. You're the guy I'm going to give the ticket to. I'm not going to catch that guy.
I got you right here.
So what happens here is that, you know, we talk about corruption. And right away, and this is curious, too. You talk about corruption in Modesto and Stanislaus County, which is well known for corruption, and it's documented. Over the years, and people say, well, we're not as bad as Stockton, or we're not as bad as Merced.
Oh, God.
So what? We're bad.
I don't think so, Carmen. I don't think so, Carmen. I think the favoritism, the favoritism, nepotism, and how many, just to give you an example, how many written hours do we have throughout the throughout the police different
County?
Areas. There might be nepotism. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but when you see that many people within the areas, you know, you begin to wonder.
Again, the mayor's family. You did. But
I'm just giving that as an example.
Do you remember the days when they talked about a civil service exam where you would apply
yes.
for a job and you'd have to take I know they were doing that when I was mayor. And I knew that even though those people were taking the test didn't mean anything because that job was going to somebody else. Cousin or whatever.
They just don't have the tests. They have interviews. And when you go, and I was invited to do interviews from the community at one time at Modesto City Schools, and the other time at for the police department. When I was on there. When a minority candidate came on, there was one at the city schools. The principal, because he didn't want the candidate, said, "Well, she doesn't have a collegial attitude." And I said, "Well, how do you rate that? How do you rate that? How do you, is it 1 to 10 less collegiality and more collegiality? Of course, to tell you the truth, after that I was never invited back to any interviews. And then at the police department, they asked different questions to different candidates. You know, and one of them go ahead.
Computers take a place of a lot of right now. There's artificial algorithms that go through resumes, and based on what the customer said they wanted, it goes ahead and just discards tons. And then when it hits HR's desk, they can run a thing where it filters even more. So you may be called to invite by a computer and never know it.
Yep, exactly. And that's what I'm concerned right now with the ballots. How are we knowing that some of these ballots are not being thrown out? We don't. You know, and again, you know, it's what I call favoritism, nepotism, and corruption here in Stanislaus County. And, you know, Carmen, it goes way back. I mean, you were talking about earlier about the auditor and the money. Well, I remember when I was thrown out of the city council
chambers. They threw
chambers.
You out of the chamber.
Yeah. I was supposedly I
admired you for that. I thought, you know, if you can get yourself thrown out of the city council chamber, you must be telling the truth.
Well, what I was really trying to ask was on the district election budget. They had gone through the budget and they had gone through it for about an hour, and then they gave me 3 minutes from the public to speak on the budget. And Ridenour had his stopwatch. And by the time I got up there, you know, he cut me off. And, you know, I it's just amazing. I mean, you know, and all I wanted to ask was how much were they spending on the district election to fight the district elections? As it turned out, they spent $5 million on that. To fight it.
Oh, wait,
they lost.
Is this going back to 2007?
Yeah,
was
something
that
like
the
that.
One?
Yes.
That the city spent that much? I recall, well, I know that the city.
They told us it was
They
told us it was 2 or 3 million, and then they didn't include any of the staff work from the city itself. That accumulated over the period of time, because they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. You know that.
Oh, in the district elections, yes. And they don't do things unless the higher court demands that they do it. I mean, all of those homeless people over at Beardbrook Park, they're only there because the court said they could sleep anywhere they went. So the city, it was in a crisis situation. They had to find a place for them or lose grant money. So court orders are great motivators for government to do certain things that they refuse to do. District elections was not going to happen until the courts ruled that it had to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And when the court said that the homeless could sleep on public property, the council moved and did something. So
exactly. And you know, the thing that concerns me about these elections is that this has been going on for a long time in terms of who gets elected and who doesn't get elected. Whatever they say, you know, unfortunately, when you feel like your vote doesn't count, you know, a lot of people don't go, and you have to, especially right now when the fire's hot in terms of these young people and minorities that want to vote. You know, this is
the
first time in a long time that I saw that
they
wanted to vote.
You're right. The election, it's a hot time. It's it is a hot election. Let me ask you, Mike, how did the election turn out? I was for you. In other words, what shocked you or what? what didn't surprise you. I was shocked by the win that Berryhill got over Damrell. I was surprised.
Well,
Is that for sure yet? I think it is. Yeah.
You think it is?
I think it was a big win. The spread was too much, and people looking at that and saying, "Well, what did Berryhill do?" Well, he did absolutely nothing except he's the third generation of the Berryhill family, and he just put his name out there. Didn't get in any trouble because he didn't go anywhere. He didn't go to any debates. he did nothing. You know the old adage: you keep your mouth shut, it keeps you out of trouble. The other one that didn't surprise me, but people were, and that was the percentages in the district attorney race that she won that big. And part of that, I think, of her win was that the Modesto B, even though they endorsed John Main, the Modesto B acted as Flatiger's campaign manager, in that Flatiger called Mike Dunbar of the B and asked for a re-interview. So I guess that must have scared Bob. No, Mike. Sorry, Mike Dunbar. And he didn't list anybody that the B was endorsing for district attorney. In fact, when you looked under the Stanislaus County races, district attorney wasn't even listed.
Yeah.
Wasn't even.
You know, the difference, I think, of Damrell and everybody, they ran regular campaigns, the usual. Is it already over?
No, we're almost over. But I'm sure
they ran traditional campaigns. What Harder did was each was trying to expand the electorate into Latinos and young people.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Mike, thanks so much. Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening.